In that first news conference as president-elect yesterday, Donald Trump reiterated his promise to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act.
We're going to have a health care that is far less expensive and far better.
Takeaway listener Kathy Ritterizer from Long Island says that sounds good to her.
Dear Mr. Trump, I actually personally experienced the horror of being thrown from a good insurance plan into Obamacare. I applied through New York State of Health after many back and forth emails and phone calls. I finally had insurance in place for a premium of $259. Guess what? I got a raise, and now my premium for 2017 is $595.
Kathy is 57 years old and wrote that letter to Donald Trump during the campaign. She never heard back. And she didn't end up voting for him, but she may get a response in the form of an act of Congress repealing the ACA, something she says will make her and a lot of others like her happy.
Well, myself and many, many other people in this country have been hammered really hard with premium rate increases. So it's no longer the Affordable Care Act. We have given too much liberty to our insurance companies to take advantage in many ways that they can to increase premiums that make it very, very difficult to meet.
Now, in your case, you started out with a subsidy, right?
I did. I started out with a subsidy at a much lower income than I'm at now, although it's not a significant amount, but it's lower.
And all of a sudden, your income went up, which, of course, is normally a good thing. But what were the consequences?
The consequences was a double in my premium, along with an increased $1,000 deductible greater with my insurance company, co-pays, $50 and so, prescription payments. It's very expensive.
And the company can raise the premium to whatever they want, assuming you get out of the subsidy realm.
That's correct. They absolutely can. And I started out with a subsidy in 2013 of over $250 a month based on a very low income at the time. And now the subsidy is $50.
And, I mean, we all need insurance, but why particularly is insurance really important to you and your family?
I am a single person. I have a condition that requires infusions that are very expensive, which, by the way, if our insurance companies would and the hospital stopped charging so much to the insurance companies, maybe we'd get a little bit of a break there. So I have to have insurance. I cannot be without it. And I had an excellent plan with my employer when Obamacare came into play. But I got that letter from them telling me, sorry, we can no longer insure you. You must take on the plan.
Is there anything that can be done to change Obamacare to make it more satisfactory to you, something that you could afford?
Well, here's what I think, and I'm just a little person in the pie. But anyway, I think that somebody must take the time to put all the people together, the brains, put them all in a nice big room and let them come up with best practices, ones that will create solid plans for people like myself, putting the people and the families first, not the insurance companies and not the CEOs of the insurance companies who are making millions of dollars every year.
Now, how afraid are you that the repeal of the Affordable Care Act and then this replacement that they're going to maybe come up with in a few weeks or years will be worse?
I am nervous about that, no doubt about it. And I'm sure that everyone in this country that is part of this existing plan is nervous about that. But here's how I look at it. If the repeal is going to give me the same coverage that I have that I have to pay astronomical amounts of money for with a lesser premium and maybe a lesser annual deductible, I'm all for waiting it out and seeing how it turns out.
Do you think that the disruption of the repeal forces people to really think about health care and that that might be positive?
Yes, it might be positive. Yes, I'm hoping that they'll be able to manage it, whoever it is that makes this repeal happen, that they'll be able to manage it so that people are able to make sure that there's no lapses in their coverages, particularly people with illnesses like myself or cancer patients, all these people out in the world.
All right, Kathy, good luck. We'll see what happens, and we'll definitely check in with you if there's a delay in the replacement from the Republicans,
okay,
if you know what I mean.
Great. I'll love to hear from you.
Kathy Ritterizer is currently insured through the Affordable Care Act. She's looking forward to its repeal. We'll continue to hear from people affected by the plan to repeal and replace over the next few weeks. But now we go to Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Todd, is there a timetable, an Affordable Care Act repeal timetable at this point?
constantly shifting, and that's part of the unfolding debate as Republicans are confronting what it really means to get the chance to do the thing you've said for 7 years you want to do. Now, John, they set, the Senate, at least where I am right now, set the wheels of Obamacare repeal in motion last night with a budget vote late into the night. Here's some sound of the Senate floor where Democrats, as they were voting no, as you can imagine, did a little bit of what you might call a voting protest.
I vote no because the people of Wisconsin did not send me here to take away their health care.
Debate is not allowed during a vote.
Ms. Baldwin, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Merkley.
How am I recorded?
Senator is not recorded.
Madam Clerk, because repeal
debate is not allowed during a
will
vote,
hurt
the Senate will be
hundreds
in order.
Of
the Senate
thousands
will be in order.
Of Oregonians.
Debate is not allowed during
I
a
vote.
Wow.
No.
Senate will be in order.
It's total chaos there, Todd.
Well, that's the traditional Senate budget votorama. I mean, not only a protest vote on the Obamacare repeal portion, which is not repealed yet, that sort of procedurally
right.
sets things in motion for the Senate to do it. You know, on the heels of 30, 40 votes last night, it was a late night, so you have cantankerous senators and Democratic senators confronting the repeal of Obamacare. So that's a combination of things going on there. But then how does repeal really happen? Your first question, John, nobody really knows, because the initial promises from Republicans of how Obamacare would be repealed are starting to look much more difficult than they had expected. Now, you played Donald Trump at the top, who in his news conference yesterday said that health care is going to be much better and much cheaper. That's maybe a typical politician's rhetorical flourish. How to get to better and cheaper when you're responsible for the taxes, the financing, the hundreds of billions of dollars at stake, not to mention the hospital industry, the doctors and the drug companies. That's pretty hard when you're a senator and a member of Congress. So here's what's happening right now. Donald Trump said that repeal and replace would be presented simultaneously. This plan that Republicans had to repeal it now, sort of make Obamacare last for a couple years and do a transition, that's out. They don't have the votes for that. Too many countervailing pressures. Donald Trump says those two things are going to go together, and they're going to happen together once Congressman Tom Price is confirmed as HHS Secretary. Well, late last night, during that late night votorama that I described to you, Lamar Alexander, who's a Republican senator from Tennessee and chair the Health Committee responsible for confirming Tom Price, said that he probably wouldn't be confirmed now until sometime in mid-February, that they won't get to his nomination. Tom Price is under ethics review, and also Republicans want more time to formulate exactly how repeal is going to be rolled out and how they're going to try to pass it, because, John, there are lots of questions that remain unanswered. Who will be covered? How will they be covered? And how many people will be covered? Kathy McMorris Rogers is a Republican member of the House leadership, and she said earlier this week into a microphone that no one who has Obamacare now would go without it once Republicans formulated a new policy. Then she had to walk that statement back a little bit later, and that's the tension that's going on. How do you do this? How do you confront the fact that you're unlikely, if you're a Republican, to cover everyone who's covered under Obamacare now, 20 million people, because that has to be paid for. And conservatives don't want to pay that kind of money for health care. Philosophically, they don't believe in it. That's what's going on right now.
Well, what about my friend Kathy Ritterizer, all right? She's currently insured. She wants it to go away, so she's not terribly upset. But is she going to be on the hook for these really expensive premiums or just lose her coverage?
I think the big question for her is what happens with subsidies. It is possible to make really cheap plans that don't cover much. We used to have a lot of those. It's easy to have plans with high deductibles and low premiums, right? Kathy can get that pretty easily. Will she get any help paying for it from the government? That's a big question. And if she gets sick, what will be covered under this new plan that Donald Trump says will be cheaper but better?
The congressional drama of Obamacare on Capitol Hill. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. We'll talk to you about what else is going on Capitol Hill in just a moment. Thanks, Todd.
You bet, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.